If you have your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 19, verse 17. Genesis 19, 17. And here we see how God is going to bring His wrath upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis chapter 19. And Genesis chapter 19, and we see the story here. And here we see in Genesis 19 how the angels went to Sodom to bring Lot and his two daughters out of the city because God is going to destroy Sodom. And here, starting from verse 12, says that the men said to Lot, "Have you, these are angels, have you anyone else here, a son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city? Take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind. You nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be destroyed." And here, the message that I'm going to give today is called A Passion for Souls. And I'm going to take the text, "Escape for thy life." Escape for your life. If you remember, last Sunday we saw the torments of hell. And this message, we saw the torments of hell. And how hell is a real place. And it's an eternal place. And there are people who doesn't believe in the Lord, who are disobedient to God, they will be tormented in hell forever and ever and ever, for eternity. And this topic goes along with it, because here we are talking about passion for souls. The two subjects are kind of linked together. When you see the eternal punishment on one side, the multitudes are heading towards the lake of fire to be tormented forever and ever. We who are alive, we who are Christians, believers, we need to have a feeling for the lost. We need to have a passion for the lost. And you had to be inhuman not to have any sympathy and to snatch the souls from the fires of hell. If a blind man is heading towards a great pit that is extremely dangerous and deep, and you will have sympathy towards that man, and you will stop whatever you do, and you will run towards that man, and you will shout, scream, and do whatever you can to save his life from him falling into that great pit. Why? Because it's human to save somebody. It is inhuman if you don't care of that person and going to fall into the deep pit. Now, those who are not Christians still have sympathy for others who are in danger in this life, and to save someone from danger of falling into a pit like that. Or, you know, how much more we being Christians should have a passion for souls who are perishing daily and going to hell. Will you not tell your relatives, your friends, and others of dangers of hell, of the eternal torments, if they don't obey Christ Jesus? Will you not cry out to them in prayer, in your souls daily? Will you not want to witness to them of the danger that is going to come? Those who truly love the Lord, who are living near to Christ, will have a holy passion for the souls that are perishing. Love is the root, because love always follows with action. Why I want to show why love is the root is because love is the very root that moved God to send His only begotten Son to save us from the wrath that is going to come. And you know the scripture, John 3:16, everybody knows. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So here, God sends His Son. Why? If Jesus did not come, how can we get saved? The only option is, we can get saved in our own good works, in our own good morality. But the Bible says, there's no one good from the perspective of God. For us to go to heaven, we had to have a 100% righteousness. Because God is infinitely righteous. And we, none of us, have a 100% righteousness. Right? We have sinned against God in our thoughts, in our minds, in our hearts, with our tongues. We were born sinners. So there is no way we can be righteous if you are a born sinner. Okay? And so, the only way we can go through to God is because Lord Jesus came down to this earth. We violated all the commandments of God. But Jesus, He kept all the commandments of God. He was obedient to all the commandments of God. And He fulfilled all the commandments of God. Matthew 5:17 says, I did not come to break the law, but to fulfill the law. We broke, Jesus fulfilled. We were disobeyed, Jesus obeyed. And here, Christ came. Christ has the 100% righteousness. And when we believe in Jesus Christ, the believing sinner, when he truly repents, it is Christ's righteousness that is imputed, charged to the believing sinner. So we go to heaven, not in our righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Martin Luther said, it's a foreign righteousness. It's an alien righteousness we have. So, here God saw a believer and his family living in Sodom. But God is just about to bring a destruction to the whole city. But there is an elect of God. There is an elect of God. It's a believer. There is a believer living in that wicked city. And what did God do? There was action. God sent angels come down to earth to go to Sodom to rescue Lot and his two daughters. And the command of the angels, the command was what? Escape for thy life. Now, people on this earth, okay, they are living on this earth as if they are going to live forever. People are eating, drinking, enjoying, the earthly pleasures, going to work, doing their business as usual, going to school, and then of course everybody's goal is, most of the people, when they grow old, when they get old, they will retire, not knowing any time this life will end anytime. You know, and if that life ends anytime, and if they're not saved, they will go to hell. Multitudes of people died on September the 11th. As the Twin Towers came crashing down with fire and explosion. Now, people went to work to Twin Towers as usual. They had their breakfast, they, you know, got dressed, so as usual they went to work. And no one knew that it was going to be their last day. In the same way, do you know that tomorrow will be your last day? We don't know. Nobody knows. But we think we live as if we are going to live forever on this earth. No one knew of the terror that was going to come on Twin Towers. If they only knew 1 hour before that there are two planes going to crash into the Twin Towers, and they are all going to get destroyed. If they only knew 1 hour before, a lot of people would have escaped. Or 2 hours, or 3 hours before, many would have escaped. Yet, no one knew. Jesus gave us the greatest commandment. What is the greatest commandment? In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord with your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Then he said, this is the first and the greatest commandment, he said. And the second is, "Thou shalt love your neighbor as thyself." If you really love your neighbor, we will want to share the message of salvation in the truth, right? Now, give you a little illustration, make it even simpler for you to understand, even more simple for you to understand. If you had a friend who is going on a trip, let's say he's going on a trip and he's going to go through San Francisco, he's going to cross over the Golden Gate Bridge. And suddenly you heard on the news there's going to be a terrorist attack at the bridge, they are going to attack the bridge. What will you do to your friend who is going on his trip? Will you just keep quiet? Don't care? No compassion? No sympathy? Let him go? Let him die? Or will you call him immediately? If you cannot call him, you will go in your car and reach him to stop him, right? How much more we should have a compassion for our relatives and friends and neighbors if we love them as ourselves, if we love them, how much more we should tell them about the eternal punishment that is going to happen if they don't be disobedient to Christ. If they are disobedient to Christ. You Christians believe the word of God and know that there is hell. And you know that many are heading towards hell. And you know it. And you believe it. So it is your calling to act now. Just now how God sent his son acted, was obedient. And it is our calling to do the same in action. Okay? Action so that we will too act in love by reaching those who are perishing without knowing Christ. And we need to tell the gospel of grace to them. Tell them of God, that God is infinitely holy. He is infinitely glorious, majesty. Tell them who God is. Tell them about sin, that we are born sinners. That sin, we are inherited in sin, Adam's sin. Tell them about how we have sin against God, and sin against God is a crime. And that God is not going to compromise sin. He is not going to let the guilty go unpunished by sin. God, being a just God, will punish the sinners, and His wrath is going to come upon people who are all living in disobedience to God. And then tell them about your freedom. How you have been set, how you have been freed through Christ Jesus. Tell them about your freedom from sin and from hell and from the wrath of God. And tell them how now you love God. How God's love towards you and your peace. A peace that the world cannot give. A peace that you have through Christ Jesus. And the joy of your salvation. That's the message of the gospel. On the other hand, we see there are a lot of worldly churches. Okay? Remember how Jesus said how the corn, the seed is planted, and then the enemy also came and planted, and there were weeds coming up. So in the church, you find the true saints of God, and also you find the people who say they are Christians, but they are not truly Christians. Only God knows. So there are worldly churches, and there are cults, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, and others, who are bringing people a false gospel. So there are ministers of Satan are diligently working hard with a false gospel. Alright? The Bible says that Satan comes as an angel of light. The popular evangelistic phrase today is to say to somebody, God loves you and He has a wonderful plan for you. Now this comes from directly from the pit of hell. And whenever you say God loves you to a sinner, God loves you, He has a wonderful plan for you. Well, God loves me. Well, I'm a drunkard. I'm a sinner. God loves me. So why should I need to repent? God loves me anyway. And so whenever you say God loves you, He has a wonderful plan for you, they will never get convicted of their sins. You don't need a mediator. Jesus Christ comes as a mediator to reconcile you to the Father. You don't need a mediator. The mediator's job is what? The Bible says we are enmity with God because of our sins. You find God on this, on the left side, and we are on the right side. And we have hurt the Father. Jesus comes in the middle as a mediator. He comes in the mediator, in the middle, to do what? To reconcile the sinner to God. So if you say God loves you, what kind of repentance? You know, you don't need any kind of, there's no conviction of sin. So they don't see that they have committed a crime against the Holy God. But when you say God loves you, He has a wonderful plan for you, you offer them eternal life right away without any conviction of sin. So here we see the worldly churches, they are drawing multitudes of people through entertainment, through drama, and if you want to be a popular pastor, not only preaching the Word of God, another way that you can be popular is to be very witty, humorous. You can draw a crowd. with your humor. We are living in a generation where churches are packed to hear a false gospel. And the preachers are popular and they preach a popular gospel to attract the people. The attraction is a sugar-coated gospel. Don't preach too hard on sin, or else they will leave the church. Do not expose sin. Just be mellow on sin. Speak love all the time. Speak about unity. Speak about peace. Speak to the flesh. Don't speak to the soul. And that's the message you hear today. Just give them what they like to hear. Now that's not how God used the prophets in the Old Testament. When God called a prophet the prophet's job is what? To reveal the will of God, not his will. That's the job of the prophet, to reveal what is already revealed by God to the people. When prophets speak, how did he speak to the people? Thus saith the Lord, not me. Now, when you give the will of God to the people, that is very hurting to the flesh. It's not my will. It's God's will. So here, pulpits are packed today with soft, pussy-footed comedians who wanted to tickle the crowd and make them laugh and give them candy for their soul. Is the father of lies had entered the pulpit like an angel of light. Multitudes are following the devil to the lake of fire. As multitudes are not saved, they are deceived, thinking that they are really saved. George Whitfield was one of the greatest evangelists who have ever lived. And in our recent generations. And of course he was born in England. He came to the United States. And when before he gave his sermon, this is what he said. I did not come to tickle your ears, but I came to preach to your soul. Many are deceived as they have received another Jesus. In the Bible, it talks about another Jesus, another Holy Spirit, another gospel. And they are deceived by another Jesus who give them bear hugs all the time. They see Jesus only as a lamb, but not as the lion, the tribe of Judah who will come to judge the world. We need to show the sinners not only the bright diamond of the gospel, but also the two-edged gospel. John the Baptist, remember John the Baptist in the Old Testament, prophet. He was crying out in the wilderness and multitudes came to him. When the multitudes came to him, what did John the Baptist say? Did John the Baptist say when the multitudes came, God loves you. And he has a wonderful plan for you. Just repeat this prayer and you will be saved. Is that what John the Baptist said? No. This is what he said. Luke chapter 3 verse 7. And he said to the crowds that came to be baptized by him, Luke 3 7, he said, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? That is awakening. That will awaken your soul. Remember when Jonah, he was a very comfortable prophet, sitting nicely, very comfortable prophet. He was in a palace, in king's palace. And God told Noah, I want you to go to Nineveh. To Nineveh. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. And Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He was too comfortable in his palace. Why he didn't want to go to Nineveh? Because the people of Nineveh, they were extremely wicked. And they will skin you alive to death. Who would like to go to Nineveh? And you know the story, what happened to Jonah. He tried to commit suicide, right? But God made a fish, and Jonah went right into the belly of a fish. After 3 days, the fish vomited Jonah out. And it was not Jonah's will, but God's will was going to happen anyway. And what happened? What did Jonah preach in the streets of Nineveh? Did Jonah preach, people of Nineveh, God loves you and He has a wonderful plan for you. Just repent of your sins and say this prayer and you will be saved. Did he say that? No. What did he say? Instead, God put the message in Jonah's mouth, and what's God's message is in opposition to our nature. And God puts the words in Jonah's mouth, not Noah, Jonah's mouth, and what Jonah, he cried out to the people saying, yet 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. Meaning that the judgment is going to come on Nineveh unless you repent. Wrath of God is going to come on Nineveh unless you repent. Jesus too said, in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, Jesus said, and I'll tell you, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will perish, meaning you will perish and go to hell and will be tormented in hell forever. Now, the heart of the fallen man, when I say the fallen man, the unbeliever, the heart of the unbeliever is hard, is very hard, and you cannot sprinkle chocolate syrup on it. It needs to be plowed and break with a double-edged sword, and they need to be convicted. John Owen was one of the greatest theologians who have ever lived in England. He was a great Puritan theologian. And I'm going to paraphrase what John Owen said. And remember in the Old Testament, in the children of Israel, in the wilderness, suddenly these poisonous snakes came and bit them. And many died. Then God told Moses to make a brazen serpent. Okay, and to put it on a pole, so when people are bitten by the poisonous snake, they will look up to that brazen serpent that Moses made, and they will be healed. Alright, now, John Owen goes on to say, first you need to be bitten by the serpent for you to look at the brazen serpent. You will not look at the brazen serpent unless you're bitten, because when you're bitten, you know you're going to die. And when you look at the brazen serpent, you know you're going to be healed. In the same way, unbelievers need to be bitten, realizing that they have sinned against a holy, majestic God, that the wrath of God is going to come upon them. Then only they will look to the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. If you are not bitten, you will not look for God's mercy and grace. And this is true because John chapter 3 verse 14, Jesus said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. See, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man must be lifted up. So must Jesus must be lifted up. So when people should be bitten first, bitten, showing that the wrath of God is going to come, that the judgment is going to come, that they have sinned against an Almighty God. That's the only time they realize, how can I flee from the wrath of God that is going to come? They will look to Jesus and ask for mercy and ask for grace. Then they will be saved. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 6 says, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons what the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, there is an urgency to preach the gospel. There is an urgency to preach the gospel. Because the urgency is what? There are people who can die anytime. And then they can go to hell. So don't postpone. Don't procrastinate. There's an urgent. Just like the angels came and told Lot, what? Escape. Hurry. Angels held their hands and wanted to get, you know, for them to escape as soon, because the wrath of God was going to come anytime. So there's an urgency to preach the gospel. And we need to understand that as Christians. And we, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you with power. And we cannot preach the gospel without God's power. We are to preach the gospel, it says, starting in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Your Jerusalem is here. In Norwalk, okay? Jerusalem, Norwalk, Three Rivers, you know, Lakewood, you know, in the other parts of the United States, in the other parts of the world, okay? But we cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. There is a part of a hymn that says, Holy Spirit, dwell in me. I myself would holy be. How true this is. God cannot use an unholy vessel for his glory. God can use only a holy vessel. A Holy Spirit lives in a holy vessel. A Holy Spirit cannot live in an unholy vessel. First, we need to be separated unto God, if God is going to use us. If we are living in sin, if we are compromising sin, God can never ever use us. We need to be separated first unto God. We need to be filled in the Spirit, not in these worldly things. The Holy Spirit will what? What is the work of the Holy Spirit? The work of the Holy Spirit is Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. This is the Word of God. This is the truth. You will feel the power of that truth. You will be convicted of the truth that is in the Word of God. The power of the Holy Spirit is not a physical power. Okay? Not the physical power of what Samson had. Alright? The power of the Holy Spirit is a moral power. Because we are going to a world of ungodly people, wicked people. We need God's power to witness to these ungodly people. Only God's power can raise the dead who are spiritually dead. Only God's power can open the hearts of an ungodly person. So Holy Spirit, when it says the God, Holy Spirit will give you the power to witness. Holy Spirit will give us that moral power to witness Okay? But we need to be separated unto God. We need to be holy. Otherwise, you will never ever experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely not. You don't know what I'm talking even. So, when the Holy Spirit gives us this moral power to witness, it's the power to have courage. It's the power to be calm. When you go out to witness, when somebody, they will get mad at you. They will mock at you. They will ridicule you. Remember Lot's, sons-in-laws? They were kind of mocking at them, thinking that you're joking. Yeah. People will make fun out of you. They will joke at you. And they will persecute you. So you need to have a moral power. A moral power of calmness. Just like how Jesus, when he went to the cross, he pulled his beard, they mocked at him, they insulted him, they slapped his face, but he was calm. And he owns this universe. He owns the earth. He could have asked the one angel to kill everybody instantly, but he didn't do that. He showed moral power, calmness, and to be confident in God, not in yourself, and to be patient. Okay, these are one of the fruits of the Spirit. The book of Galatians speaks, right? One of the fruits of the Spirit is what? To be patient, okay? And to power, God will give this power that you can suffer in love. Power to endure, power to perseverance, and to power to have a burning zeal. And that you will be fervent and intense in your belief and your walk in witnessing to people. Remember when God told Moses, I want you to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Because all the people of Israelites, they were slaves to Pharaoh. What was Moses' first excuse? He told God, I'm slow of speech. I cannot talk good. God, you know, but who puts the words in the mouth? It's the God is the one who puts some words in his mouth. And here Moses said, I'm slow in speech. And Jeremiah, when God told Jeremiah, I want you to go and preach, what did Jeremiah say? I'm only a kid. But it was God who gives this power. If God can put words in a donkey's mouth, can the same God put words in your mouth? You got to believe that. Trust in it. That is faith. So you are to witness. What are you going to witness? The book of Acts says, Jesus said, to go and witness. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. So you are going to witness. The word witness is to what already has happened in the Bible. What already has been revealed in the Bible. That means you are not to make up your own gospel. Okay? That means you are not going to add your own opinion to the gospel. That means you are not going to add your traditions to the Bible. That means you are not going to add your ideas or your philosophy or your own doctrine to the Word of God. No. The doctrine, what you have learned from the Bible, that was preached and taught by the apostles, that's what you're going to witness. Apostles never told the unbelievers, God loves you and He has a wonderful plan for you. They never told people to repeat a prayer after them and that they would be saved. We are to witness Christ alone and what is written in the Bible. In the book of Jude, there's only one chapter. Jude verse 3 says, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Okay, that means earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. This faith is not delivered 2, 3, 4 times, but only once. That's it. This is it. The Word of God. You cannot add anything to this Word of God. Even if an angel comes and preaches another gospel, Apostle Paul said in the book of Galatians, let him be an anathema. So in order for us to have a passion for souls, there has to be, you got to sacrifice. Yeah? Jesus sacrificed, didn't he? Jesus sacrificed to come to this earth. So you need to sacrifice your time to reach out for the others. As a dear we have a dear brother in Christ whom I have never seen, but hearing our sermons through the internet. He is from Indiana, US. He wrote to me last week saying, with no alterations to your message, I assume it would be okay to burn CDs of your past Sunday's message to distribute. Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Nick. I appreciate you and your ministry. So I replied to him saying, our goal is to give the gospel to free for all. Then he replied to me saying, I thank you for your MP3s, downloaded all of your First John series, thought that might be a good place for a regular Bible study. Wow. Amazing. You know, it's only not this brother, you know, he made some sacrifice. There are brothers who are Christians listening in the internet all over the world. And I'm talking to them now. You're welcome to make copies of MP3 CDs and burn them into CDs and use them for God's glory. And we would love to hear from you. Give them the gospel of grace. You know, and you know, it is, the website is done for God's glory. So there is a sacrifice. There is a sacrifice in witnessing. Those days, long time ago, about 200 years ago, or 150 years ago, people, missionaries went to different parts of the world. Okay? A lot of missionaries went to Africa. And when missionaries went to Africa, a lot of those missionaries, they died there. Because of, you know, because of diseases, sicknesses, and all kinds of, you know, they sacrifice their life, they leave everything and go to another country. C.H. Spurgeon said, I have often heard of the natives in Africa say of the missionaries. This is what the natives said about the missionaries. These men must believe a true religion, or else they would not come here to die for us poor black men. The blood of the missionaries becomes the seed of the church. We Christians, now understand this, I want you to get this into your heart, okay? Remember, we Christians should weep our souls in secret places for the sins of our relatives, our dear loved ones, our neighbors and others. We need to have a feeling, a passion for souls. Remember how God announced the judgment that is going to come on Judah. Who was the prophet? Jeremiah was there. Isaiah was there before. Jeremiah was there after, just before the judgment came. And Jeremiah the prophet, he cried to the people of the judgment that is going to come. But the people refused to listen. There were a lot of false prophets. They were prophesying peace, unity, happiness. So the people, that is so, I would rather like that one better. So the people like the false prophet. But really, the judgment came. And Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 17, and you can see Jeremiah's passion here. You can see his heart. You can see his heartbeat, his concern, his sympathy for the people. Jeremiah 13, 17 says, Jeremiah, this is what the word of God says, but if you will not listen, my soul will weep in secret for your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly and run down with tears because the Lord's flock has been taken captive. Are you weeping for your loved ones, for your friends, for your relatives? Are you weeping for them in prayer? Are you weeping with tears in your eyes, and the soul, is your soul grieved that they don't know the Lord? Are you weeping in your prayers for them? Or are you just listening to a sermon and, you know, say a prayer, God save them, God save Joe, God save my father, God save my brother, thank you God, amen. Is that weeping? No. You know, if you really see there's a hell, torments, fire for eternity, and they are heading towards them, you should have a passion for them to weep that the Lord will bring salvation for them. You know, if somebody dies on this earth, I'm not talking Christians, even the unbelievers, if somebody dies, there will be a lot of crying, weeping, mourning. That's natural, isn't it? But, you know, it's because that person is no more with us. But how much we should cry, weep, and mourn with tears when somebody is alive, not knowing the Lord. Because we know that there are any time that they can die and go to hell. That's why we should weep and pray. True Christians have a passion for souls. They will shed many tears in their prayers in the closet. And they will, as they see their loved ones, friends and neighbors and others heading for the lake of fire. Apostle Paul, who was called the apostle to the Gentiles, but yet he had a passion for his own people, for the Jews. In Romans chapter 9, verse 1, Apostle Paul said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness, continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And here we can see the sorrow, the heaviness of his soul, in his sorrow, in his heart for his own people. What about you? Do you have that sorrow? Do you have that sympathy? Do you have that concern for the people that you know? Remember Moses. When he came down from Mount Sinai, Moses was with God. For 40 days and 40 nights, Moses was with God. He led the people and was with God. This is where God wrote the Ten Commandments with his own finger and gave the two tables to Moses. When Moses came down, what did he find? What were the people doing down the mountain? And Moses found the people were in a grievous sin, as they have made a golden calf, an image of a golden calf, and they were worshipping that golden calf. And what did Moses do when he saw that? He was grieved, he was hurt so much that he threw the two tables and down on the floor, and he fell down and he fasted and prayed for their wickedness. In Deuteronomy chapter 9 verse 18 you see, and Moses said, "And I fell down before the Lord, as at the first 40 days and 40 nights I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins which you sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger." Here we see Moses, he saw this wickedness, this great wickedness, and he again fasted another 40 days and 40 nights. Without eating, he fasted and he prayed to the Lord to forgive them for what they had done. You know, are you praying for your relatives not knowing what they are doing, asking the Lord to forgive them? But they do not know what they do. And are you fasting for them? Are you praying for them? There is a sacrifice here. You know, are you kind of comforted, you know, in your own belly, kind of, you know, well-fed, you know, kind of living comfortably, and, you know, then you have a tradition of prayer. Okay, my prayer time now, you know, you say your prayer without any sacrifice. You who are Christians, who love the Lord, cry out to Him in prayer, in passion for the souls. Who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is the one that is closest to you. Yeah, that is your closest to you, closest to your heart, closest to you, wherever you are, that's your neighbor. Bring, and if you love your neighbor as you love yourself, if somebody goes to see a doctor, and that person really has cancer and is going to be malignant soon, is the doctor going to tell the patient, "Well, I don't want to hurt you, you know, you're alright"? What kind of doctor is that? Or if the doctor tells the patient, "You know what, I'm sorry, you got to go through surgery. It's going to be hard, but don't worry, but you had to go through it. It's for your own good." That's the way it is. And if you have a friend, a relative, or friends, or neighbors, or anybody, and you know they are not saved, they are on their way to hell, and if you truly love them, you will present the gospel to them. You will have a passion for them. You will bring the gospel of grace to those who are lost at any cost. And if you really know that they are going to hell, and they are going walking towards hell, and if you can visualize this, you see the lake of fire, and you can see them walk going towards hell, what will you do? You will stop everything, right? And run towards them, grab them, and bring them back, right? If you can really see. So, do you believe this is the word of God? Yeah, a lot of people, they believe it, but there is no conviction in their belief. So they know there is hell, but there is no feeling, a compassion, no conviction of the word of God. So we are to tell them that they are sinners and how they can flee from the wrath of God, and how God can pardon their sins through Jesus Christ. Tell them the old story, the story of the cross and our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. And I encourage you that this week you will pray for souls. You will pray for those that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you yourself first will be set apart to serve God. Okay? And that you yourself will say, God, I'm a sinner, but have mercy upon me. Cause me not to continue in sin, but to be holy before you. God, I want to be used by you for your glory. That, you know, and you'll be blessed. You may undergo some sufferings here, some persecutions here, because the devil will be mad when you take that chance. But you will get your rewards in heaven. The Bible says, Jesus will say, the book of Revelation talks about a lot of rewards. He himself will give you your rewards. Wow, those rewards, the rewards that people get in Olympics, they're earthly. They will last until you're alive. After that, where is it? Maybe end up in a museum or someplace, and you're dead. You cannot take your rewards to heaven. But the rewards that you will receive in heaven are going to be eternal rewards. Just a short time on this earth, you had to make a sacrifice. Just a little moment of this life, you make a sacrifice. But see the outcome. The rewards are eternal. Eternal rewards. So God asked the Lord to open opportunities. When the doors when the opportunities come, don't have fear. This is one of the greatest obstacles why people will not witness, because they think, if I tell my relatives, if I tell my friends, and they will think that I'm crazy. They will think that I'm just gone, kind of, I don't know, what kind of crazy? You're a crazy person, talk like. See, the thing is, you need to trust in God, the first thing. Okay? Trust in God. Without faith, you cannot please God, the Word of God says. And God will put the words in your mouth. And if you tell them, in truth, the gospel, no matter, they might get hurt at the beginning. They may not like you at the beginning. But what if they get saved at the end? And you don't know that. And then you might say, oh my goodness, they got saved. You know, don't worry about salvation. You cannot save anybody. I cannot save anybody. Only God saves. So just trust in God and tell what is true. The Bible says, what? Open rebuke is better than hidden love. Yeah? Yeah. Open rebuke is better than hidden love. And if you really love somebody, it's better to tell them lovingly what the Bible has to say. Let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this time. As you have given us the word, and the Lord, the word has gone forward, and we pray, Lord, that you will bless the word. That what we heard today, Lord, that we would treasure it in our hearts. That we will practice what we heard today, Lord. We ask, Lord God Almighty, that you would give us the boldness to preach the gospel. You would fill us with the power of your Spirit, and that you would use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Thank you.
Take thy glory.